As Marinus was speaking, he used the word unbelief. I was reminded of the disciples on this particular day. As the chapter opens, it says it's the first day of the week. It's the resurrection day, and it's the resurrection morning. It's the beginning of the day. And if we went back to the disciples and all the things that they had been taught in the 3.5 years that they had been with the Lord Jesus leading up to his death and his crucifixion, he had told them on numerous occasions that he must die, but on the third day he would rise again. And when I think of this word of unbelief, I think to myself, and I say this, maybe in a sort of natural sort of way, but why were the disciples not at the tomb that early morning, waiting for that stone to be rolled away? Waiting for the Lord to come forth in anticipation. They had been told that this was going to happen. And where were they? They were all gone to their, well, we read of the other disciples, Peter and John, they had gone back to their own home. The Lord had said, all will forsake me. All had left him. He went alone into death, and on that resurrection morning, coming forth victorious over sin, over death, over the grave, over the enemy who had the power of death, he comes and stands victorious, and he comes forth. And now he has something before him to do. Because there wasn't a crowd waiting for him. There was no one there at the tomb to welcome him. But now he goes. And he immediately begins to go. And he has the restoring work to seek out his own. To make himself known unto, as we will learn going through this portion, his brethren. His own. Those whom he identified with, but now coming forth in resurrection, now everything has become new. It's no longer the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week. He is no longer dead, as we heard that Mary was seeking to take his body and properly give it a burial. He's no longer dead. He has come forth in new life. He's come forth in resurrection life. And so now he seeks to restore to himself his own. But I love the heart of Mary. So sweet and so special. When she comes there in our beginning of our reading in verse 11, Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. Here was Mary. The others had gone to their own home. We could say she was homeless. She was homeless without her Lord. She was the one who was seeking, and there was no other object before her heart but her Lord. But she did not know him in resurrection. Not knowing him now in life, she was weeping because he had been taken from her. But now he comes first to draw her out. But notice the heart of Mary. She comes to the tomb, she looks in the tomb, and here's two angels, and they speak to her. Verse 12 tells us where they were, and then in verse 13, they say, "Woman, why weepest thou?" They ask her a question. She saith unto him, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." We can develop that thought of my Lord, but notice her heart. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Notice, here are two angels that take up a communication with her. Now I would dare say that if I met and knew that there was two angels coming to have a conversation with me, ask me some questions, that they would occupy my attention. Not Mary. She shares her heart with them. She shares there the burden of her heart. But they were not the object for her. She turns away back. And when there is no other object, it is then that we can see Jesus. But then he must reveal himself unto us to restore us so that we may know who he is. Coming now forth in resurrection, salvation life, new life, life that is beyond the grave. And he would make himself known unto dear Mary.